Like so many of you, we battle depression during life's many ups and downs.
Music has always been there to help us through the tough times that we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music.
Interview artists and bands.
Break down genres and music news.
Review artist biographies.
And much, much more.
You're listening to the When Words Fail Music Speaks Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to When Words Fail Music Speaks, where we fight depression with music. I'm sorry, Shauna just emailed me and she said, are you here? And I'm like, oh my God, I don't have time to respond.
Yeah.
But that's okay. We're here with Lee J. Pierce, the founder. So you are the founder of Johnny Pool.
Oh, yeah, one of the founders. Yeah, Mike and
one of the founders. Okay, started. So you're a co-founder.
Yeah, co-founder. Sure, okay. That sounds good.
So we have him for, he's the guitarist for the amazing Drowning Pool. So we're delighted to have him on the show today. CJ, buddy, what's up? How you doing?
Dude, I'm doing great, man. It's been awesome. It's been a great last couple of years for us, especially after COVID. It's just been on the upswing. You know, we have a tour coming up right now. We're doing pre-production today for it, and we're doing a UK run. We have 13 sold out shows. Well, 10 announced. That the other three are getting sold out like tomorrow. So it's
okay.
13 out of 16 is pretty good right now, man.
Yeah,
so
thank
you, fans, for coming out and watching us play, man. We're working hard on the new setup and the new show today. So if you're out in the UK, man, you don't want to miss it. Get the tickets when they last.
And I think you're working on new music, correct?
Oh, yeah, man. I've been working on music. Dude, all the way up until I got on the plane, I brought the laptop out. This is only the second time I've done it because it's takes a lot of time on the road, just the daily events of driving, getting there, set up the show, doing everything that goes on throughout the day, playing the show, hanging out after. Right. But I'm going to try to squeeze in. I still have some more work to do and a few more songs, mainly a couple of solos and stuff. So I'm going to try to do that out here with the laptop. I normally like to do it at home in the studio, but we just don't have time. That's time to play now. So finishing up the rest of the songs to put out a record, hopefully by the end of this year. If I get this done in the next few days, maybe so. But if we have to push it off till January, February, it's just got to be right before I put it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because I was listening to your, I guess it's your most recent song, Madness. And that was
Madness.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. That was like 6 months ago, correct?
Yeah. It was about 6 months ago when we put that out. It's been, again, like I said, we were planning on rolling along. We've just been touring a lot, man. It's been a lot of shows. We did a whole summer tour, and the 2 weeks you might have off between tours, it's just doing home stuff and also trying to do studio stuff and then getting ready for the next tour. So that's what's been dragging out the recording process.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, like I said, it's 24/7 for me, man. I mean, it's almost 11 o'clock here.
Yeah.
So, but I'm trying, you know, and again, it's art and it's music. So, but tell me about Madness. How do you feel about Madness?
Dude, I love it. I think it's great. Well, hell, I love anything that y'all do, you know. Before we go on, I got to ask you this because I always was curious. I love the song to death. It's, hold on just a minute. The song just bounced out of my head.
Yeah, it's all good. I do the same thing, man.
I know, so right? It's like
so many records now. It's like it takes me a second to re-download it in my brain.
Yes. So Tearaway. All
right. Tearaway, yeah.
Yeah. So that's one of your. I think that's your second most popular song ever. You know, behind Body.
It is. Yeah, Tearaway is awesome, man. It has so much feeling and meaning to it. For me, it's changed on me three different times how I feel. You know, I not just writing music, but being a fan of music. It came up, you know, we did a tour with Godsmack and POD, a little while back earlier this year. And, you know, they asked Sonny a question. It was interesting about one of their songs and has it changed for him. It's like, no, it's still the same thing for me. But I didn't realize with Tear Away, we wrote it meaning one thing. And then certain events happened in my life and my own song had a different meaning to me. And now it has a completely another meaning to me. So it's weird to have your own song I don't know how to explain it and describe it, but the way I feel about it now when I play it 25 years later, it has evolved for me. It's a very deep song for sure. I'm glad everybody can relate to it. All the fans out there, thank you so much. I play it every night. Like I mean it, like it's the first time I ever played it. Like it's never going through the motions with us, man. We love playing. We love touring together. When we go out there and put on a show, it's 110%. And it always feels different every night too, depending on the crowd response too. So it's one of those songs that it just have this life of its own to it that I'm always looking forward to playing it in the set because you never know how that vibe's going to be from night to night.
Yeah. Well
how was it for you?
The first time I heard it was on, I think it was on a WrestleMania game. I think it's WrestleMania 18. You know?
Yeah.
And that.
Yeah, man. I remember playing that live. I'll never forget that moment.
Yeah, the game was, man. Yeah, it's one of, that's a powerful song. But the question that I had for you about that song is the opening riff, right? So with that, is that like a flanger noise that I'm hearing from the guitar?
No, I was working on, I still love my Digitech stuff. There was a 2101 that came out with this gold play back in the day, and it had two different chips in it. So I was trying to take a phaser and a flanger and make them work together. But sometimes they'll cancel each other out.
Yeah.
If you don't dial it in right. So I was trying to get this one to flow as it was going down, that one to come up. And as I was working on it, it goes, you know, and I was programming it.
Yeah.
Dave, you know, Dave Williams comes running in the rehearsal room. He was, you know, they went to go take a piss and he's coming back. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm working on this program. He's like, keep doing that. I'm like, doing what? What did you just do? And I'm like, I just went, you know, and I make this program. He's like, do that again. So I started doing it. He just starts singing it. I'm tearing away. He just goes right into it. I'm like, and then we just jammed. It was one of the songs that just came out naturally, dude. And it just right out the gate, man, just from its, it's just, you know, it just had a vibe. I just knew the day we wrote it that it had something to it. I didn't know it 25 years later. We're so very fortunate and lucky to still play it. And so many fans like yourself can relate to the song. So yeah, man, it came off. That was one of the ones I was just playing with my toys, playing with the riff. And then we just fell into it.
Yeah, dude, because when I play guitar, I don't play guitar now. I don't know why. I need to go back and start learning now, you know, guitar.
I still got to learn how to play this damn thing, too, man.
I know, right? You. Yeah.
I'm still figuring out. Yeah, my whole life, I'm like, oh, shit, I can do that note, too. All
right. Right, yeah. But I had an MX-01-08 or something, some kind of big pedal, you know, and I had a flanger effect. I'm like, I bet you that's what you use, and it is, you know, partly with the phaser, correct?
It's a phaser and a flanger at the same time, which is not something you always get to use. And like I was saying, I had to dial it in a certain way so it wouldn't like disappear and cancel each the wave. So it's right. I have a good flow on it, and you can kind of do that too. With one of my other units, I couldn't use the phaser and the flanger, so I had an auto wah working as a phaser with a flanger. So with my live sound, it's the same effect that you hear now. I've made it happen also with a wah, auto wah, so which is working as a phaser. But it's a cool trick, man. It's, you know, it's a staple thing with that song. It's that tone and that sound, you just know something's coming. So
and I've
never been playing it tonight with Pre-Pro. We had there's a lot of students in here that come in and also just do what they do, and they stayed while we were doing our pre-production, which was cool with us. Yeah. And right when I went into it, you could just, everybody's like, oh my god, yeah, you just know it's coming up. So it's, you know, it's always a compliment. You know, I don't expect people to know who I am, and I expect people to know our songs. Right. So when you when you do play it and they get excited about it, you know, it's a great feeling. We all connect.
Yeah. Well, I haven't heard that sound being used since then. So I guess
I left that one alone for Tearaway. I just still use a lot of effects. I need to go back with my unit because I did write a lot of stuff, especially early 2000s, just playing around with the toys that kind of influenced me to write riffs. I mean, I write in different ways and different, sometimes it's the lyrics or sometimes it's a drum beat, but for definitely earlier Drowning Pool stuff, it was just me playing around with that Digitech because it was so new. So I'm going to bust that out. I have it in my studio now. And with the next kind of writing stuff that I plan on doing, I'm going to have some time off at Christmas. I was going to go through my unit again because I had so many programs and so many other songs that we did back then that we never finished. So I'm kind of going to start diving into that as well, especially with the 25 year anniversary coming up, because we do have a lot of material with Dave Williams that's never been heard and released. And I think I'm going to have a hats off to him.
Yeah.
And a lot of stuff back then, like I said, was affected like that. So maybe another Tearaway style song will come out of this next session of writing.
Yeah, because I think you'll release like the demo track on the Unlucky 13.
You get the demo track. On our anniversary one, which is fun. And then we had a demo version before that that's not on there where I had two guitar solos in it. It was like 8 minute song. It was like a Tool song. So we kind of slimmed it down and cut into the meat potatoes of it.
Yeah. Well, I worked at Outback Steakhouse and I asked my coworker, she's like my age, you know, I'm 45. So we kind of know music, you know, and all that.
Yeah.
Hey, do you remember Drowning Pool? And she said, what? Who is that? I'm like, God, no, I didn't go. You know, I said one of the verses from Bodies, you know, and they're, oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. Like, But she had a question for you, and so I would ask you to, and then rearrange it, because I know it's a question you get all the time, but I found something very unique about you, you know, and I'm not sure if anybody has asked you this before, because I haven't heard anybody ask you, okay? So
yeah, man.
She asked you who inspired you, okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to reformat that for you, okay?
Okay, yeah.
So when I was researching you, and I've done a lot of research on you, and I found out that before music, you wanted to do art, correct?
Well, before music, I was doing electrical work. I was into that. I can't do art as far as like drawing and stuff like that. I can't even make a stick man straight. I admire people that can. But besides music, the only other thing that I've always been interested in is electrical stuff. And during COVID, when we were in tour, I went back into it for a little while, which was fun to do, man. It's art within doing electrical work, especially with concentric rings and pipe and stuff like that. So maybe that's the art part of pipe work and all, you know, Unistrut, Altered, and all that fun stuff that comes along with it.
But you wanted to do that before Dragon Pool, right? So what inspired
you? Oh, that's what I was doing. I've always wanted to do music since I was born. My dad played in the band, and they rehearsed in the living room as growing up. I was always around music in New Orleans from day one. So I've always loved music and wanted to do that. But any other interest, was electrical work. And my father was great about that. He's like, you have to have some kind of foundation. You know, I always had the dream to do music, but he's like, you have to make sure, you know, you have some kind of trade or something now. And so I'm glad that he instilled that in me, because I really needed it during COVID. Cause a lot of people that play music, or, you know, even like everybody involved with it, you know, tour managers, you know, guitar techs, drum techs, all that, they, you know, it's like, if you don't have some other trade at that time, it was hard to get work. Yeah. And it was fun going back into it for a little while. And it's a great dudes that I worked with in Dallas, man.
Right. Yeah. Because I thought you wanted to do that before music. I'm like, well, okay, so what?
No, it's always been music, man. You know? I just do that when I can't do music and I got to pay the bills.
I mean, COVID, you know, inspired you to do a lot of stuff, you know, with the art.
My dad inspired me to do a lot of work, with music. But yeah, starting out, because there was a lot of my dad was big Jimi Hendrix, Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath was what he always kind of listened to. So that was really the first type of bands I listened to kind of coming up. And then, you know, Kiss was always amazing. You know, God bless, you know, Ace Frehley and his whole family, man. That was a terrible, terrible thing to find out. And we had a show that day. So I drew Ace Frehley on the shirt I was wearing as a picture of a girl named Lindsay Lane, that does artwork for us in Dallas at Dallas Tattoo Shop. And I had a shirt with her, like, her art on it, so I drew an Ace Frehley face on it and wore that on stage that night, just out of respect, you know. But he was a big one for me too, man. You know, he had the Les Paul, just like Jimmy Page, and there's something about those guitars, man, that just draw me to it, just that style and that tone.
Exactly. So let's take a quick detour back to Tearing Away, because this is kind of Tearing Away but kind of not, you know. Okay, so when you were taking lessons, you know, I'm not sure if you took lessons or not, but if you did you ever take classical lessons? Because hearing the ending part of Tearing Away sounds to me like you took some sort of classical.
No, lessons. I never took any lessons. The only thing that I did, I grew up playing, you know, just learning on my own. I did play in a jazz band, and I did when I did trade school, it was also independent, like jazz class lessons, and I played in the jazz band. So I took jazz. I never took classical, but I am respectful of classical. Like Randy Rhodes is, you can tell he's from a classical trained kind of guy. And solo, I'm more like a Alex Skolnick from Testament, where he's more on the jazz side. But they intermix. I can see what you're saying at the end of the song, how it has that vibe at the end. But it's more of a jazz influence and funk and blues from New Orleans. Yeah. But I do love classical too, man. I love more the the flamenco style, if you will, than the traditional classical, if I'm going to get down on guitar with it. Yeah. But jazz and blues has kind of been my foundation, and funk music for sure. Yeah. You know what I mean? We're a metal rock band. You don't hear the funk, you know, we're not like a funk band, but it's in there. Now that I tell you what to look for.
I'm trying so hard to get into jazz, But I'm like, I don't know if I really can right now. You know, it's kind of like, because I feel like if I was going to get into it, I would have started, you know, in my.
Yeah, it's a thing that's a taste. It's a style of music that could be too much for some people. It's I've noticed some people with jazz on the ears are just like, ah, yeah. Maybe it's dissonant notes and shit like that, because some people just can't, you know, it hits them a certain way. But and like I said, the classical is beautiful, but I love jazz. But it seems like a lot of freedom with jazz, and it's fun to play off for other guys when you do that. It's just fun to bounce off each other. It seems like it's more of a free form style than anything. You hit all the notes. It's called jazz.
You're right. Yeah. Every note is wrong. You know, I've heard. Yeah.
Every note that's a wrong note. We just call that jazz. That's how we get away with it.
Right. Yeah. So, but I do respect the genre, you know, for what it is, because jazz is very influential to you and a lot of metal guitarists, you know?
Yeah, it's down there for sure. I love how that kind of that plays a part in it for sure. It kind of like lends itself, especially when I get down on solos too. I kind of seem like I pull from that side of my influences more than anything when I get down on it.
Yeah,
because that's what I'm in solo mode right now. I got
two
other songs. I got it. And every time I listen to it, I hear something else that I like. I just want to find something that's natural and fits the song. So like I was before I talked to you, one of the newer songs I was listening to it, and I already have. Ideas in my head, I just heard a new one. So I just like to keep playing it and keep trying stuff till I finally know this is what works for the song. What I'm going to do.
So this podcast delves deep into mental health and music. You know, they go great head to head together. So do you think Drowning Pool has a whole place in metal culture as a band that helps fans navigate personal struggles?
Struggles? Oh yeah, man. Life is definitely a struggle. There's a lot that comes out. There's a couple songs left off the last full length that we put out, Strike a Nerve. I mean, that just tells you right there. Yeah. You know.
Hey, we're back.
Yeah. We're back. Sorry, it's gonna happen in probably a couple more times.
Yeah, you're okay. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
I took that time to warm up to Tear Away Again. I don't know if you heard that, but I was just
right.
It's got a nice echo back here. So
right, exactly. Yeah. But I asked you about how the band has helped. How do you think the band has helped people with their own personal struggles as music helps with depression deeply? You know.
Oh man, I think it helps out a lot. You know, I have my go-to bands and that I can relate to, and it's pretty wild and just amazing when a fan comes up to me and it's like, you know, I had these thoughts or that thoughts, and I just, you know, some people really down depressed, and like a song like Tear Away is a good example again. Yeah. You know, the whole line, I don't care about anyone else but me. You know, what it comes down to is like, sometimes you got to love yourself and respect yourself to love other people. And I'm glad people get that part out of the song. Yeah. So, you know, it's been, pretty wild to have songs, and not just that song, there's other songs as well, 37 Stitches, that, you know, fans will come up and like, man, you really helped me through this hard time. And that's that song in my life that got me through. So it's really, I think that's probably the biggest compliment you can have, I think, with any band or any musician, to have something that you write personal that means something to you, and have a fan like help them get through a hard time in their life. Because, you know, we're going to have those hard moments, but you just stick with it, because, you know, if you put the hammer down and you end it, you know, you don't have the chance to have another good day. So like, just hold on for a few more minutes, listen to a Drowning Pool song or one of your favorites. Don't have to be Drowning Pool. And just stay positive and get past it. And, you know, we're all here together.
And you never know who you will inspire tomorrow.
Yeah, you never know who you're going to inspire tomorrow. That's for sure. You know, we have a lot of new stuff coming out, and I have a couple songs that are pretty deep. And I'm looking forward to those, especially these two new ones that we have that are very, very close to home for all of us. And I think they're very relatable. You know, it's like losing a parent or losing a friend situation. And you know, sometimes you feel alone with that. But like, you know, just nice to know that you have other people that have gone through similar things that you can relate to.
Right.
So
when writing new songs for this new album that comes out very soon, I hope to God it is. But
When I got the phone with you, I'm gonna go back to working on it.
Hell yeah, dude! What's up? Yeah. So. When you're writing these songs, has there been a song where you just rewrote the riff or like abandoned it totally because it didn't feel like you?
Well, some songs, it's weird. Like some stuff, for the most part, I write something, I have an idea and it's there. But, you know, when you start putting things together, and we write songs together, sometimes I bring stuff in, or Mike brings stuff in, Stevie brings stuff in, Brian does, and somebody else's idea, and you're trying to help them get to that point, and you collab together, and it'll change and evolve into something better. But for the most part, or at least for me, especially lyric-wise or subject-wise, I feel like, you know, when I have that kind of nailed down, it comes pretty fast to what I want to do. Then it's just a matter of getting it down on tape, as they say, or computer, right. Hard drive, so the rest of the world can hear it and have all those components in it. But yeah, there's been some songs that have come out naturally, and there's other songs that I've sat on and rewrote. It's like, something's not there yet, so I'll let it sit for a little bit. Like let simmer on a stove, and then you bring it back like, oh, there's that part I needed. So it's wild. It's always different. Like I said, sometimes I'll start with lyrics, or sometimes it'll be a drum beat or in my head, and then I'll write to it. Or sometimes I'll just jam on my guitar, and then it comes from there. So it's they're all different, man. They're all very different, how they evolve and become a complete song.
Do you have any songs that you aren't going to release yet at all, because it means so much to you that you can't put it out yet? You know, like the world's not ready.
You know, this it's pretty wild working on songs, especially like I was saying, the two. I could tell you more about it because they're right there. But yeah, there's been parts just working on the song, and like you just like, I just have to stop. Like I'm sitting here working on a song, I'm crying already. Like I can't even get to the parts to it. And then you get, you know, you're like, look, I'm trying to express this for other people. But it's just definitely two new ones, two bangers that are rocking out that I'm working on, and two very deep ones that they'll definitely get you teary-eyed by the end of the song, because it's pretty, you know, there's some, you know, like I said, we all write together. There's a couple really cool lyrics that Stevie put down on this one new one that are very deep. Ryan McCombs is like, he comes out with these cool zingers. And same thing with my drummer, Mike. So I love that we work together as a band on songs. Some people sometimes bring more than the other person in, whatever. But at the end of the day, it's all of us, you know, making it a complete Drowning Pool song as a whole.
I don't know if I want to cry during the Drowning Pool song, man.
Dude, sometimes when I'm playing like Tearaway, I see somebody start crying because it, you know, something deep happened. And then I'm on stage, I'm like, you're crying, I'm crying. It's, there's no crying in rock and roll. Why are we all crying here, man?
Right.
Yeah. But I've seen people before like get emotional while I'm playing on stage, and it gets me because it is an emotional song for me. I mean, we wrote it with Dave Williams. Yeah. And I think of him a lot when we play it. So that's one of the songs that get me like that for sure. And there's been moments like, you know, it's just every now and then, a good at least once a year where it really gets me, or like I got to turn around for a minute. And I'm like, I just got a lot of sweat in my eyes. It's not tears. It's just sweat, you know.
I'm not crying. You're crying.
Right? Like, oh, what's all that smoke in this building making my eyes rain?
The weeds get into my eyes, you know, or something, you know.
Yeah, I see my eyes. It's just smoke. It's not the emotions.
No, it can't be the emotion. Yeah. So speaking of live shows, has there ever been like a strangest thing ever that fans or locals have done to show you their appreciation for what you're doing for them? You know, do you have any?
Oh man, there's been so many. You know, it's always awesome when fans like bring you something and make something for you, and you know, it's like Drowning Pool jewelry and stuff like that. I got something recently from a girl that had these DP symbols on like a keychain thing on my lanyard, which was really cool. I always appreciate that, man. That's awesome. I mean, there's been, there's been one dude that did this big mural picture on like a locker door, gym locker door thing that he brought in that was Dave, just like Dave Williams. Was trippy. That was in Indiana. I was in where was that at? Pierre's that brought that out too. So it was pretty wild. Especially like the Dave stuff, and I know a lot of that's going to be coming up here again soon. Yeah. So yeah, it's cool, man. And the dude, just every show is so wild and different. And especially when we get into bodies, man, you just know whether it's 20 people, 20,000 people, man, chairs are going to start flying. Stuff's going to go crazy. Yeah. Always a fun song to play. I know I've been asked that before. You ever get tired of playing your most well-known song or whatever? Like, I can't wait to get to it, man, because I know everybody knows it and they're going to have fun with it. So, and I love playing it, man. I'll sit around my house and still play it, even though we're not on tour, because it's just a fun song to play. Like, I'll make parodies of my own song because it's fun. It's rock and roll, baby.
There was one parody of Marty's, and that's like, he counts like the alphabet, and it's like me.
Yeah, there's one, the alphabet one. Yeah. There's a sock puppet one.
Yeah,
man, there's several, dude. And there's JoJo the bird. Yeah. that sings it, which is awesome. I never got to meet JoJo. I met his the owner, and I didn't know she was going to bring him to the show, and our past manager didn't. It was miscommunication. But JoJo was living in Texas. I think they moved now. I have to check up and see how he's doing. But he sang Body's Great. I mean, and he's a freaking parrot. He's a bird, and he did it. He just had this gnarly rah, scream. You know, the bird scream would work for the song.
Right. Well, since we're on this subject, I want to ask about royalties and collaborations. Because when I told my friend today at work that I was interviewing you, we played Body, so maybe I was like, oh, yeah. I remember this song. And then he played me a rap song that was called Bodies, but it had the voice, the vocals. I'm like, okay, so do they have...
Yeah, they used the sample of the vocals in it, yeah.
Right, so...
Offset.
Yes, Offset. So did he contact y'all to actually sample it, or does he go to...
No, he contacted us like 6 months ago. I heard that he wanted to use the sample in a song, and of course we approved it, and then I heard the song, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
And then we worked with them when we did Jimmy Fallon a few weeks ago, when we did a heavy version where we went up and played with them. So we're looking forward to do more stuff with Offset. He just came through Dallas, and we wanted to hook up and do a show with him, but we had a show that weekend too, so we missed stuff, but we're trying to make it happen where we jump on stage with him when Idol jumps on stage with us, because that was something that came together natural. I'm not sure how many people have seen the Jimmy Fallon of us playing, you know, Offset's Bodies, if you will, with us playing on it. But dude, that was fun and natural. Like, we got in a room just like this and just, you know, it came together real fast, and it was like we were playing in a band together for years, and that was awesome. I felt so comfortable on stage too. You know, you think it's, you know, on TV, it's Jimmy Fallon, it's cameras and lights and all these people watching, but you know, when you get down and you just play it, it felt great to just to be rocking out together, man. And you can, it comes through on the camera. Like, you know, it was fun, man. It was just pure fun and pure naturalism.
So would you say that you are more, at ease playing for 60 million fans on open air as opposed to going on Jimmy Fallon and like on TV?
No, I'm comfortable everywhere with it. Okay. I'm probably more comfortable in that piece on stage than anywhere else next to actually being with my family and with my wife. I'm very comfortable, and I love entertaining. I love performing. And even like, I guess I'm wired different. I know some people, you know, if you slide in or maybe you hit a wrong note or something happens, I just laugh at, it's live, so we just pass it and keep playing the rest of the notes and hope you get most of them right. If I get 99.9% right and one wrong, the whole show isn't ruined for me. I'm not going to smash a guitar and yell at everybody. You know, like, it's just fun. It's live. Anything can happen. But I'm very, very comfortable on stage. It's almost like a quiet, peaceful thing, even though I'm playing heavy metal, right?
Right, yeah.
There's been moments where I was just really in that zone, and it was just like almost like slow motion quiet. In that connection with the fans. So I love performing. It's never been any time I've been nervous. The only time I've got a little bit like that, and you mentioned it earlier, WrestleMania 18. And again, that was, you know, back in the early 2000s.
Oh, yeah.
And I was a little bit nervous on that one because I'm meeting all the wrestlers.
So I guess you were The Undertaker didn't choke slam you, right? After you stepped on the foot.
Oh, he didn't choke me out after that. Man. And but Triple H was huge too, man. Back when, you know, we did the game. Lenny gave us his permission, Lemmy, back in the day, because he did the game originally. Yeah. And I just, for some reasons, that just popped up again on my playlist. And, you know, there's a couple of fans that asked us about that one as well. But just meeting him, like Triple H came in the room. He's just this huge guy, gives you this big bear hug. He's just like, he can crush you like a beer can. But all cool dudes, man. All the wrestling guys were great. And we just did a new thing, the AMMA show, which is the Armor MMA, where they dress up like knights and they have like freaking dude swords and everything. We just did that 2 weeks ago and I fell in love with it. It's the first time I've been to one of those shows and we got to perform at it with Lamb of God. And dude,
great,
that is like a new, I didn't know that, you know, I heard about it, but until you're there and you see it, that is my favorite sport right now. The AMMA. You gotta look that up, man.
AMMA. I've heard of AMMA.
AMMA. Yeah. Armored mixed martial arts, I guess. Okay. I think I said it right. Dude, they were dressed like knights for real with the real armor on and just going at each other, man. I mean, you have like rules, like you're not supposed to jab somebody in the neck with a sword. You still have to fight, you know, you can't get dirty on it. But dude, they go hard. Just to hear that metal clanking, I was in the front row, got to be at the commentator's booth and see it firsthand. One dude almost got jabbed, sword went through his thing and cut him up here, went right above his eye.
Yeah.
So you know, when anybody get hurt, but it's a wild sport, man. I've kind of, I mean, I think I'm a little older to jump into that, but I'm kind of addicted to it now, man. I can't wait to the next. Yeah, I'm really all about it, dude. So y'all check that out too if you haven't seen it. AMMA, you can't miss it. And again, we just did that in Canton, Ohio, a few weeks ago, like 2 weeks ago, maybe. Yeah. I got a concept of time.
Oh yeah,
maybe 3 weeks ago. I don't know. I don't know what time it is. Right,
yeah, but I'm going back to what you said about the smashing guitars and stuff. I always felt like there was a need to get super glue and glue it back together, you know, because Paul Stanley always destroyed his Mirrorball Iceman. So I'm like, where's the glue? Get the glue.
You know, where's the glue?
Yeah, I've always hated anybody that smashes their guitars, you know, just.
Yeah, yeah, it was kind of cool fun back in the day to smash. It's not now. It's like, oh my God, why would you do that to that poor? Because, like, you know, I used to have, like, I had, like, all my stacks, but also had a couple of cabs that I wasn't using. And I used to have, like, a wall of cabinets, and sometimes I would just knock it over for the effect of it. And it was cool 25 years ago, but now it's like, you know, it's don't destroy the nice gear, man. Just keep it pristine, especially the guitars. You know, I got love and respect. Every one of them also has their own feeling and personality. I really would like to go over. I have a large collection now. I definitely have an addiction to guitars. My house looks like Guitar Center. I thought my whole before you walk in, it's just guitars on like every wall in my house. But I love them. They all have a different feel. They have a different you know. I kind of write music different on. If I have a V guitar sitting here, I could tend to do more metal. If I had like a Les Paul here, you know, I tend to do different stuff, or a Strat, I get funky on it, you know? Yeah. So whenever I'm working on music too, my wife always says this, she's like, baby, cause I go and look at my wall. I'm like, what guitar do I want to use on this part of the song? She's like, baby, you shopping? I'm like, yeah, I'm shopping. I'm going to take this one off today.
She said, use it over there, dude. You got one right
there. Yeah. She's like, cause I'm like, which one should I use on this part? I think I get that one. My BC Rich, you know?
Right. Well, I heard that BC Rich went under, right? Or like
they went under a while ago, and they're back up. Bill Xavier is running the show there. Yeah. Zoltan Z from Five Finger Death Punch is a big part of them now too. So they're coming back up the last couple of years. Yeah. And I've always played on BC Rich. I still have my BC Riches that I use all the time, man. It's definitely my go-to favorite out of all of them. I just love the way that they feel and the way that they sit and the way that they're made, especially the new ones that come out. They're high end and they're nice. Great, man. Too.
Yeah.
I have a more BC Rich than anything else. And that is my go-to. So, and Marshall amps, man, Marshall was great, dude. They just gave me, dude, I got 8 cabinets on stage. I haven't had a big wall in a while. And we're doing these shows in the UK. We're doing some pretty big venues. And thank you again, fans, for coming out. We have a lot of sold out shows on this run. So I wanted to have the big stage show. So, man, I got 8 Marshalls out there, man. Just blast them all, baby.
So
bring me loud on my side of stage.
So bring your
earplugs. Oh yeah, I wear earplugs when I play. It's funny, I put earplugs in, but I still crank that up super loud just so I can get even louder. Because I want to feel it, you know?
Yeah,
it's not just hearing that. I want to feel that power come from behind me off those Marshall amps, man.
Mm. Speaking of gear, is there any gear that from your childhood that you say if now and you really can't thrown it away, or you know, I mean, it's just so
I have a bunch of gear. Dude, I keep everything. I wouldn't say I'm a pack rat or a hoarder or something like that, but like I love all my gear. Like I started again with effects wise I've always been Digitech, and I don't think they're doing stuff right now anymore. Thank God I have a lot of stuff from that era, and there's so many great new things that are coming out, Axe Effects and things like that, and the Kempers are really great, but I'm still old school, man. I love plugging into a head and going through pedals, and I still have all my gear. Some of it, you know, hasn't lasted, and certain things that don't leave the house. So Dimebag Darrell, he had a signature wah pedal, and he handed that to me. I went to his house back in the day. He was hanging out one night. I think it was his birthday party. He had a box of them. He's like, here you go. Come on, squeeze. Here's one of my pedals. So I use that when I'm tracking, but I won't take that out on the road.
No. That's priceless.
Yeah, and I have a Joe Satriani one as well, because his has its own thing. So I have a couple of signature pedals that I keep at the house because I just want to keep those pristine.
Right. Exactly, yeah. Well, I do have 3 more questions for you, and I was on death right now, so thank you so much for coming on.
I'll get them.
So these are going to probably be harder questions than I asked today, but let's hope they are.
Sure.
For my, you know. Okay, so we're going to do like a Mount Rushmore of your four favorite bands or artists. You know, you have 4.
Yeah.
If you need 5 of them, we can do 5, but let's try to do 4, right?
So 4 favorite artists or bands?
Of all time.
Of all time.
Like Rushmore.
Woo. I mean, you know, top of the line, everybody I know says it, but I mean, dude, they're one of the greatest bands ever, Led Zeppelin by far. And yeah, especially with the new documentary that came out, and just rewatching that thing and seeing footage you never seen before. There's just something about those four dudes, man. Yeah. Talented dudes, and all music they wrote is great. So that's one of my favorites. I mean, hats off to Tool is another band that I kind of put in that kind of category where they're just so talented. Everybody in the band is. The music is just amazing. Every one of their songs are great, and you can put their music on at any time. I mean, I know they play a lot of AC/DC on the radio. I know we all hear it all the time, but the reason why is because that is the quintessential. I mean, that is like the definition of just a you know, rock band, just straight up, dude. There's nothing like those dudes in a and simple three chord riffs. But yeah, I mean, that's you know, I mean, hands down, we still listen to it. It never gets old, dude. I know, so, you know, they get a lot of radio love.
So that's one band that all your songs sound the same, but it's so great. Who cares? You know, who cares?
Yeah, they're similar, but their nuances are different, man. I know it's similar. They take three chords and they just make them sound completely. To me, guitar player, they're all different to me, but it's definitely, they got their style that, you know, that's AC/DC. Right. I mean, you know, that's a rock song. It just gets your head going, you know, get your head banging. Black Sabbath, with, you know, Ozzy Osbourne, man. I mean, the music he's put out and the different guitar players he had throughout his career with him, all the talented musicians he's brought into his band and epic songs that he's had. So hats off to Ozzy. And I, you know, I'm gonna have to pick a fifth one out too. I mean, we can't go without saying Metallica. I mean, that's metal right there too, man. And Pantera, dude. Oh my God. Didn't even say Pantera. Jesus. That's one of my favorites. That should have sort of started with Pantera. Don Daryl. Right, yeah. Dude, one of the sickest.
You just reminded me of something that I want to ask you about. You've heard obviously that Megadeth is on their very last album. How do you feel about that? Because I don't think that they're actually done, man. I think they got years and years left, but I guess this is the last full.
Oh, the tour that they're doing now? Oh, Megadeth.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, he's been playing for a long time, and to be honest with you, like, he can play any one of their, he can go on tour anytime, and I would go him because every record is great. You know, I hate for anybody to put the hammer down and be like, I'm not going to write anymore, make any more records, but I know everything that Megadeth's done is freaking amazing, dude. Like, epic. And, you know, the last one that I heard, kind of had the inside scoop with the family. And, you know, I heard some stuff before it got released to everybody else in the world on the last one. And it was awesome to hear that before it came out. Dude, I mean, Dave, he's one of the greats, too. Like, all his songs are, you just know when that's coming, the second you hear Megadeth. And they got their own style. And he's got, dude, Marty Friedman was one of the best. I mean, he's got a lot of great guitar players. The guy he has now, that I saw on the last tour. Sorry, his name just skipped my brain at the moment. That dude was sick, bro. Like, that player was awesome. So, I mean, just shredding, man. Keeping the metal shredding going, dude.
I've seen him with Chris Broderick, and I'm like, holy crap, this is so great, you know? So but see, he's doing like a full circle, you know? He started with Metallica, and now he's doing a cover song of a Metallica song that he wrote. Right the lightning, you know.
Yeah, that's
so,
wild, man.
Like a full, so it's like full circle, you know. So I'm back for him, you know. So, all right.
Yeah, definitely, man.
Two more questions.
All great stuff.
Let to go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to be back in the time machine, go back to where CJ is like 14, 15, 16 year old, way back when. Okay.
Yeah, that was a wild time.
Yes, for me too. You know. All right, so we're looking around your room. Are we looking at any music posters? And if so,
my room was covered in posters.
Yeah, dude.
Covered in, you know, I have my Kiss poster.
Yeah.
I had my Led Zeppelin poster. I had two of the Led Zeppelins. Jimi Hendrix was on the wall at the time. Metallica by Master of Puppets was at that time as well when that came out. I had so many posters on the wall, dude. I have to go look through some pictures. My mom gave me all my pictures from my childhood. And see what was there, because I took pride in that, man. I was all about, my room was littered in posters, man. All the rock bands out there. Rad was a big fan of mine back in the day too. Like anything early, like 80s metal, it was on my wall for sure.
Right. I had a few posters, but I couldn't really have them that long because my dad is a retired colonel, so every 4 to 6 years we always had to move. So it's like, why am I
right
up? We're like, can just take them down again, you know? So
Yeah. You know, I have this huge tool one that my wife got that I want to frame that's really freaking out because the artwork from their stuff is killer. And we have that. I have that sitting ready to go. I have the framing for it because I'm making it and everything. It's one of those things like I can't make the home projects. I'm busy working on, you know, the music to get this done. So everything gets kind of put on hold on that. But I get into project mode every now and then too. If I can't play or something's happening, I just have to build stuff sometimes. Like I built, like, the, you know, last time I had some time off the house, I'm working on music, but I built this table, my you know, the whole kitchen, dining room table and chairs and benches and everything. I'm just, I don't know, man. I got to build something around. Writing a song, I got to build a table, you know. Writing a song, I got to build a chair or something.
You're probably the busiest person who I talked to today. you stay on the ball, which I love because I don't like being bored at all, you know.
Yeah, man, I'm always, you know, always constantly got to be on the move, and right now we do have a lot to do, which is I guess it's a blessing and a curse, because, like, you know, it gets a little, like, you know, at this point now, especially, you know, kind of, you know, I'm kind of the point person in the band, so business side things have kind of come onto the table on top of the music side of things. So it's a lot to keep the flow of the band business and music flowing. You know, we just have the online store on finally. We had one a long time ago and went away. And now that we're self-managing, we have that up again. Things like that, booking the tours on top of writing and recording, and just the regular home stuff. So it's a lot, man, but I got the balance. My head size hasn't exploded yet. I'm keeping the cap on so my head doesn't explode.
I hit you again, beanie on, which I love again. Okay, so last question for you, sir.
Yeah.
So this podcast is called When the Words Fail, Music Speaks, right? And it can't be anything from the truth, right? So is there one artist, album, or song that you can listen to right now, but you can't tell me, your wife, your son, how it makes you feel deep inside your soul?
What was all that question? Because my stuff just froze up on me. Okay. Can you still see me? Oh, there you are. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry, it cut out on me on my side. Yeah. I didn't get all that. Sorry.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Damn UK, right? Oh, okay.
Yes. All right. Wait. Okay, start over.
Okay, so is there one song, album, or artist that you can listen to right now, but you can't tell me, your family, how it makes you feel deep inside your soul?
I don't know if there's anything I have to not tell, you know, the friends or family, because I'm pretty much just a wide open book, man. Okay. You know, I'm just doing me. It all of this doesn't sound wrong and all, but, you know, there's a song, I mean, it's a song that I wrote called In Memory Of, and we did with Jason Moreno, but, like, you know, there's, like, songs that I've written, and then you put it together, the band, it kind of changes and sounds like it does for Drowning Pool. But, like, there's a couple of things that I've done, that are just, like, personal to me, the versions that I have of some of the material that I brought to the table with Drowning Pool. And there's, you know, In Memory Of is one of them, because it's, you know, it's a memory of the ones we've lost. Life's not the same without you. And it's a deep song. Sometimes I just sit around that song and play it in my house and sing along to it. More the original version that I have, which is not that different from what's on the record.
Okay.
It's just some words and some stuff are a little bit different. Jason's delivery is different than what I had. So I might re-record that on my own, because it's definitely a personal one for me. I know I'm naming myself as an artist of somebody else, but I mean, you know, I listen to everything the family, you know. Yeah. I mean, we all listen to everything, the wide variety of music in my house. On Sundays when I'm home, I have a record player going through my house PA, going just full analog sound, just, and we have, like, album day, and we just put something on, like, Fleetwood Mac. You know, we've been listening to a lot of Fleetwood Mac lately.
Yeah.
Anything from them. Lindsey Buckingham was such an amazing guitar player.
Yeah.
A big influence as well, man. A lot, you know, finger picking, and I've been getting into that a lot lately without the guitar pick, just all, you know, just full on playing with hands, even though it's metal. I mean, I beat my nails up pretty good, but hey.
What I see, back to classical, man, you know, because that's what they did.
Yeah, I do play with my both hands, so I guess it is a classical style, if you will. Yeah. I don't always have the pick going. Even when we play our songs, like 37 Stitches, I like my brother play it, just pick it openly instead of, like, hitting it with a guitar pick and stuff like that. So,
nice.
But yeah, songs like that are pretty deep. I mean, so I'm trying to think of anything that resonated with me deep like that.
Yeah.
You know, dude, old school Alice in Chains and stuff. That's kind of was always my go-to band that gets me right here.
Yes.
Anything off of the Dirt record, you know, it's pretty deep for me. There's a lot of things that happened in my life during that time period, more so than some of the songs itself. It just brings me back to that time and that feeling I had when I heard the song or something. You know, like, my grandfather passed away, I was listening to the Dirt record, so it kind of brings me back to that moment. Right. Things like that, so... Mm-hmm.
Well, cool. Well, thank you for coming on so much. And before you go, let's give you some shout outs here. You can go to drowningpool.com for all of their touring dates. They're in Manchester right now. Yeah. We'll do two dates in Texas, I believe.
December 4th and 5th.
Yes.
Yeah, December 4th is going to be in Houston. I love playing in Houston. It's going to be at the Warehouse, and that's going to be a great show. Yeah, we're going to play some new stuff that you never heard before December 4th, especially in Houston at the Warehouse. And then December 5th, Toys for Tots show we do. I think it's like the 12th year, maybe the 13th year that we've done it. It's a charity show. You bring in a toy. You pay like $10 to get in, and you bring an unwrapped toy for a child, and that's how you get into the show. So it's always, you know, I love doing that show every year. I love doing charity shows. You know, we do a handful a year. We do a lot of stuff still with the military, USO and MWR, playing for the troops, and it's very gratifying to just give music back in that sort of way. It's not always about making the paycheck at the show. I mean, you still got to pay bills, but I love doing charity events.
Yeah.
And Toys for Tots is the best, man. We got like 10,000 toys or something last year. So it was nuts. Nice. I had this big box truck full of toys for all the, you know, unfortunate children out there that don't get that. So I love doing that. So check us out on those shows. This one's going to be sold mostly. So if you're trying to get in and you see me at the back door, I'll try to sneak a few people in. Just meet me at the back door at 7.
Right.
And if you see the bald head guy right here with the beard, I'll let you in.
There you go. Yes. Great.
Just one special guest tonight.
Four or five, right. Maybe 6 or 7, right? Who knows?
Yeah. So you just said it was cool, man. Let me in. It's sold out. No, you come on in.
No, he could come on in. We just
push at the back door.
Right, exactly, yeah. So what I will do is I will get the new shopping link, and then I'll post it under my details because you do have a shop.
Yeah, we should have. We just got the online store going.
Yeah.
So we have some stuff up there now, but I have a lot of stuff. I have a lot of past, like I have these posters. Every tour we make special posters for each venue and tour. So I have these signed left over. I have a lot of stuff to put. Which we're passing out. So there's a few things on there now, but there's going to be a lot more. Keep checking back at the store because, I make these guitar pick necklaces that I just custom make on the back of the bus while I'm touring. I'm making some right now. I have to do that tonight after a track for the show tomorrow. So I'll just make a handful of guitar necklaces every show, but I want to have that stuff online. We have a lot of cool signed stuff from the band. I still have some CDs and stuff left over in storage because we don't really make CDs anymore, but I have signed CDs from us. Things like that to put online if you want some kind of memorabilia, something for Christmas.
Right. Yeah, Christmas. Exactly. Yeah. Because Christmas is coming up next month, So. All right, everybody.
Yeah, I got to get on it too, man.
I do, because I don't know what to buy. My mom did. They're always super hard to shop for, They never tell me.
Give them music.
Yeah. Give them music. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Give them some music. The gift of music.
Yes. Yeah. So everybody go download your favorite Drowning Pool album anywhere you get music from, and go to YouTube and type in Madness because that's their most
recent song. Check out Madness, man. I love that song. That's a song that came to me like that, and I was ready to go. And it's got that southern metal influence feel to it. If you love Pantera, you're gonna love that song, that's for sure.
I love it, man. So cool. Well,
thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, we honestly love you, and we beg you to come back anytime.
Oh, absolutely. Hit up Shauna. I'm always available. I'm a lot easier to get in touch with than you think so. And I'm always down to hang out and not just see talking to you, but like at the shows, shows, I'll be at the merch booth watching Head PE play and Spine Shank. I like to watch the bands play before I go on every night. So I'm always hanging out at this show. I'm not, I'm hanging on the bus or hanging backstage, man. That's not where the party's at. The show's out here with everybody else. So
that's the real party.
Meeting everyone. So come up and say hi for sure. I'll ask me some questions. I got the answers. I'll make something up.
All right, we'll make something up. Yeah. So thank you so much again, and everybody listening, always remember when word kill, music speaks. Bye, guys.